I don't know if I necessarily like the term sick bants, but I like, where your head's at. I like the idea.
You gotta get into a headspace. It's about, let me tell you, I got inspired by watching the Sean Combs documentary. So,
Yeah,
I finished it.
So you watched that. How did that go?
It was good. It was like, Netflix, say what you will about their business policies, they can make a fucking documentary.
Yeah, they do good documentaries. They also do porn for women very well.
I mean, I hate Second Screen with a passion, but damn, they can put together a fucking documentary. And if you like really pay attention, you're like,
oh yeah.
But you really want to put, you want to bottle a perspective and like just one singular way to make something. Netflix can do it to a T. Like even if it's 100% wrong, Netflix
fair
can
enough.
Do it. And I respect game. Respect game.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Hold on one sec. Lovely. My fiance almost got hit by a pot that fell out of my fell off my kitchen.
Seems that there are spirits out to get her.
Steve said there are spirits out to get you. Anywho, So the Sean, let's start talking about the Sean Combs documentary.
Yeah, of course.
I hear it was basically 50 Cent just kind of trying to get back at Diddy because he was making his own documentary.
I mean, he's a producer for it for sure. I mean, 50 took a big L.
Yeah,
but he took a big L to Kanye. That rap beef went, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 years ago, and 50 got investigated by the government for I believe it was some tax evasion work he did. Back in the day. And he lost a bet to Kanye that he would never like rap again or some shit like that many years ago.
Damn.
He doesn't like Puff because Puff and Ye were like big time pals and all this other shit. Long story short, yeah, it's definitely a hit piece on Puff. But
fair. Well, nobody
here is a good guy.
No. I don't think the documentary was meant to be kind.
Didn't pull any punches, but it didn't tell anything. It didn't put anything out there that I wouldn't be like, you know what? That seems like he's just not that kind of guy. He totally is that kind of guy.
Yeah. Fair enough.
You know, when you get that email saying RE freak off tonight, send you a Teams kit invite. You'll
good
be there.
Lord.
The man certainly had enough baby oil and lubricant to keep Costco in business for like the next 20 years. It was some wild accusations, but it was a good documentary. I respect the filmmakers and the fact they didn't pull any punches. Oh,
look who it is.
Hey.
What's up, fellas?
What's going on?
Happy 2026.
Sir. Indeed. How's so we were just discussing the Sean Combs documentary. Have you watched that yet?
Yeah. I watched it like a month or so ago. Like,
what do you think?
I mean, it was good. It was definitely interesting, and certainly the whole he's responsible for both Biggie and Tupac, and among many other terrible things that he's responsible for, was fascinating. But I also found the whole, like, I think I told you guys about this, maybe I told Matt about it, but like the beginning of that documentary where it's like literally following him around in that hotel, like that was him making a documentary about his comeback, or what he thought was going to be his comeback, and then he gets arrested and 50 Cent buys out the film crew.
Insane.
Like, the level of trolling is phenomenal. Like, he knows how he, like, it's just great. And then did you see that they moved Sean Combs to the same prison where they're holding Suge Knight?
Are you serious?
That's interesting. Yes. I didn't know that.
Yes,
that can't be good for Combs.
No, that's justice. That's what.
That's justice.
It's like, oh, you thought you could get away just because you were over there and I'm over here? Well, guess what?
Now you're over here.
And then look, they just happened to give me a cell with a balcony. I figure that one out, guys.
The reckoning.
Yeah. Sex offenders are kind of like the low on the totem pole in prison, I hear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So Combs is going to be going to have fun. Anywho. Let's move on. How is everybody's Christmas holiday? Did everyone have fun?
Yeah, it was great. It's great. I caught up on some backlog. This week is actually a good starting week for some new stuff coming out.
Hell yeah, it is indeed. And we'll get to that in a little bit. However, did you get anything good from Santa or the family?
Santa treated me very kindly. I got some updated stuff I needed and
new nickels and milk.
Ooh.
Yeah, I've heard about that, Steve. A bag of fresh nickels for you.
That is exactly.
I do like that milk and rusty smell.
Yeah, but it's like a specific kind of smell that when zinc gets rusty, you know? It's like a very chemical rusty smell.
Sean, what about you? How was your Christmas and holiday?
Well, I wasn't huffing zinc, so that's cool.
That's good. That's a good start.
This guy's bragging.
No, it was good. Not so New Girl and I were in California for Christmas with her family, her dad, and his girlfriend, and her daughter, and everything. It was fun. I got an iPad Mini from Not So New Girl, which actually arrived yesterday. She told me that she was ADHD Santa Claus when we got back from California, and then presented me with a gift like a couple of weeks after Christmas, I guess. But it's great. Got myself some Beavis and Butthead t-shirts and
sick.
Yes. it was good. It was good. How about you, Matt?
I'm good. You know, it was very quiet. We had to change plans last minute, so we ended up in a different country than we thought we would, but it was a lot of fun. You know, we hung out with my mom for Christmas and New Year's, and it was just nice and quiet. Did a lot of cooking for my mom, like did a lot of stuff around the house, so it was fun. I have to be nice to her because she's taking me to Europe twice next year, so I have to be at least a little kind.
Well, when you said out of the country, I was like, did you go back to Europe, you ass?
No. I thought black site. I thought you were getting renditioned.
No, we ended up in U.S. instead of Canada, but that's another story. We're going to Europe again, like twice next year, because we have a wedding to go to, and we're going to the U.K. because my mom wants to go to the U.K. So I was like, yeah, I'll come. Like, I'm not going to say no. So I think that's
she a monarchist.
I maybe at this point, no. I don't know.
Oh no. You better figure that out quick. Cause stuff could go sideways there.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll see. But anyway, so all that to say, good Christmas, good New Year's, finally trying to get back into swing of anything like remotely. Like literally I've been gone for like 3 months have been chaos. I haven't been in one place for more than 2 weeks. So hopefully I get to stay here for at least a month to just kind of like decompress.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that instead of anything else.
Hey, a staycation always helps.
Hell yeah. We shall see. Anywho, that's my small update. Let's move on to television. You know, it's supposedly a good year for some stuff. Anything on either of your guys' radar that you're most excited about coming up in the new year for like shows, movies, anything entertainment wise you guys looking forward to?
Two big things for me is obviously the start of Pitt season 2.
Hell yeah.
And then I was just thinking about Hedge Knight.
Yeah, Hedge. I was going to say that too, actually. I'm pumped for that. Knight of the Seven Kingdoms.
Okay. All right. Is that actually coming out this year?
It's coming out in like 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Holy crap. Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so George R.R. Martin, in all of his activities that are not writing Winds of Winter,
of course,
has said that he this is the closest to his actual work that anyone's gotten. And he loves it. Like, absolutely loves it. Like, he's not like backhanded making disses at them on his whatever blog. And like, he apparently is like 100% behind it. And the trailer looks good. I mean, it looks like fun, you know?
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, yeah, I hope it's good. I just hope it improves upon, let's just say it's not season 6 of Game of Thrones.
That's season all I hope. Season 6 is okay. Season 6 was okay. It really went off the rails in 7. I mean, it started already. Yeah. And then 8 was just, you know.
I completely missed off. Like, yeah, I thought that was whatever the last season was.
Sorry. A lot of people treat 6 like it's the last season because it has such an epic ending, and then it's like,
that's fair. That is fair.
Why didn't they finish this? I don't know. It's almost like they don't know what they're doing.
No, Well, those guys are not working on anything anymore, right? Like they got, or did they do this show as well?
No.
I don't think they're doing anything else, right?
Well, they raced through, they speeded run. I don't know what
sped
the
run.
Sped run. That's an awkward sounding. Anyways, they pushed through the last two seasons of Game of Thrones because they got a Star Wars thing. Right. And then when season 8 of Game of Thrones was as poorly received as it was, they lost the Star Wars thing. And yeah. Then there's something else they were trying to do. It was like about like Confederados or something like that. And people were like, yeah, we're not interested in that right now. So anyways, fuck off.
Yeah, good. Well, as long as this one's good. So Night of the Seven Kingdoms is the big one for you guys.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
It's yeah, I think so. Life. I mean, I don't know what else is really coming out TV wise this year. Oh, Shrinking's coming back soon.
In
4 weeks it's coming back. I saw the trailer for that. Over the weekend. Was good.
I'm very excited. I'm a little worried. I hope they figure out a good angle for Goldstein. The guy, you know, coming back to the guy who killed the wife.
Yeah.
It didn't seem very prominent. Like, I hope it's not going to be like completely forgotten about because that was a big, you know, cliffhanger.
He's in the trailer. He's in the trailer.
He's in the trailer. Yeah. I hope they do it right. That's all I'm saying. Because they don't. Yeah. I don't know if like they definitely can't be like friends right off the bat, right?
I don't know. It'd be interesting if they did that. I wouldn't fault them either. I think that like he played such a good, interesting character.
100%.
That is. I mean, Jason Segel too, but like. My ADHD brain just reminded me that we were watching SLC Punk over the weekend, which is Not So New Girl's favorite movie.
I mean, good choice.
And we're watching it, and it's like, of course, like young Jason Segel in his polo shirt and his like nerd glasses. And I was like, you know, there's some universe where this is what Max turns into, and I'm totally good with that.
Amazing.
Yeah, he's the guy at the hardcore show that looks like he's not hardcore, and he's the most hardcore, and you're going to have problems.
Fantastic. Well, what date is the 18th? Is that a... when it comes out?
What, Shrinking?
No, not Shrinking.
Night of the Seven Kingdoms. It's probably coming out on a Sunday, because it's HBO. Yeah, it's
Seven Kingdoms? Okay. Well, why don't we can watch it on that day, but why don't we come back and do an episode on it that week, on that Tuesday? We can do a discussion of based on the pilot alone.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Also, the Monarch season 2 is coming out in February.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. 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 I was very surprised because it didn't get good till the end. I will say, like, Monarch started off really slow because there was not many monsters, but they did deliver by the end. So I am intrigued to see where you go. What are your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, I like that. There was a lot of production in season 1 that made it really good, and I think there was a slow build on purpose. But I could see that was coming off the writer's strike when that was filmed, produced, and built. So I could see it having a little bit of struggle. And I think there was a lot I liked about it that was all like those little, Easter eggs they put in there. Like that makes that universe so well interesting. And sorry, I didn't even butcher the English language there. It makes it so interesting and does a lot of service to the whole thing that I really like. So I have high hopes for season 2 that's like well connected and continues off.
Sounds good. Sean.
I also have one question actually.
Please lay it on me.
Have either of you seen Hijack season 1?
I have.
No.
Yeah, the Apple TV one with Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Oh, we thought about watching that the other day.
Season 2 is coming out. Yeah.
Is it good?
It's really good. It's really good. Watch it after the third episode. Tell me what you think of it and finish it and tell me what you think.
Oh, okay. That's all right.
Oddly specific, right?
That is oddly specific.
Why is he telling me that?
Yeah, ooh, what are you setting me up for here, Steve?
Yeah, that's right. Couldn't tell you.
Interesting. All right. That's
Jan 14th.
Well,
so next week.
Sweet.
So we binged, Orbis finally.
Oh, okay. Yes, this is a good. Yeah. Yay. So, has everyone? Let's set this. Has everybody here finished Pluribus before we go on?
We all finished it.
Good. Good.
The saddest part of that is that we may not get season 2 for a while.
I know. Vince Gilligan is trying, but I'm not optimistic. Although, Well, let's talk about this. What did you guys think of season one up until the end?
Up until the end, fantastic. I have questions that I could throw out there, but continue on your own questions.
Yeah, no, same.
Okay, fair.
I mean, we watched it in 2 days. We could have watched it in one, but it was like 6 o'clock in the morning when we turned off the like fourth or fifth episode, and I was like, I think we should probably go to bed at this point.
Fair. Medusa's.
Okay, so let's talk about the big kind of twist. So obviously they're not all good, and like they I don't, do you consider that a lie when they were kind of like leading her along that like, hey, we didn't take your stem cells, but we're working on a way to convert you?
Oh yeah, that's totally the Hive has an interesting way of twisting the truth to things. They can't lie, but they don't have to tell you.
Yeah.
They don't have to tell you the truth either. I mean, not the truth, but they can obfuscate.
They don't have to say anything. They can lie by omission. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
And taking the stem cells, right? They are not, as I said, they are going to find a way to convert Carol, one way or the other. That's what sets up for season two for sure.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's what the goal was. And but I mean, she has a nuke now, though. You think that's her? That's her.
Like, that was so fucking hilarious.
That was great.
I love that so much.
I think that bakes into the earlier conversations around earlier in the season when they were talking about the radio waves. And remember when Medusa's was holding the radio of that specific frequency over that one guy and was causing him to freak out.
Yeah, I think the point is that communication.
Carol says, if I have to go down, right? If Carol's like, if I have to go down, I will use the nuke, which can disrupt just about anything and take out all the radio towers.
So to EMP it?
Yeah, just EMP it, basically.
I have a feeling she's just like, if you come near me, if you try to bring that shit anywhere near me, I'm nuking, like, we don't know how big of an atomic bomb she got.
Yes.
It doesn't matter, honestly. Yeah.
I'll take a pause here to say spoilers for the last episode.
We probably should have said that in the beginning.
There's a piece of that, too, where, like, you know, like, for example, when they convert people forcefully or otherwise, right? They basically fooled that girl into converting, because you saw them just prop up that entire village just for her.
Which
I think was the point of the whole along, right? Is that, like, you know, up until they, once they have you, they have you.
Yeah, and it's very interesting to me to, like, because the coolest point of that entire scene and that entire sequence, which is brilliant, like, obviously Vince Gilligan is one of the best cinematographers. Let's, like, that his shows rule. But what the coolest thing about that whole sequence is how little the Hive, Pluribus, whatever we're going to call them, cares about culture. Right? Because there's no preservation. As soon as she's one of them, they all are like, fuck it, let's leave. And they abandon the goats, which I think is also funny. Like, the goat was like, where are you going? I love you.
Well, they can't keep the animals.
Very intentional. I think actually pivots the show more towards horror. And sci-fi.
It is. It's really kind of fucked up, because it's like, nothing, like, culture doesn't matter. As soon as they have you, you're like, it's over. And, like, obviously they're going for universal. I wonder if they're going to try to steal that dude's DNA who's having sex with all the girls. That's how they're going to pop up.
I think so. I think there's
Mr. James Bond the Westgate?
Yeah, the Westgate, the Alpha Suite.
Yeah.
They're probably saving all that DNA. But yeah, like, I think some shit's going down. And the only dude, it's funny that by the end, there's such a change in that final episode. You are rooting for Carol almost, right? She kind of drank the Kool-Aid, but she was literally just looking for a happy ending, right? She was just looking for someone to connect with. Because, you know, I think that's kind of her arc throughout the first few episodes, or like the middle few episodes, was like her realizing that she does need people.
Yeah.
That complete isolation destroyed her.
But that's because I think Carol realized she was fighting a system not a person. And I think she started to buy into a little bit of that thing of like, you know, being alone up until Medusa's kind of came back and said, like, these guys are a bunch of weirdos. Obviously, they're trying to do something, you know, we should take back the world type of deal. But then it's a parallel to The Matrix.
Really?
In what way?
All right. So it's the red pill... blue pill thing, right? It's like, do you pull somebody out of that and say, like, you've gotten all this happiness, but I'm here to pull you back to the real world and say, like, actually, you're gonna fucking die.
Well, here's the thing, and this is like the biggest mind fuck of the show: is it real happiness?
Right.
is it actually happiness? We don't know what they feel.
Matt, right? Do you know what happiness is? No. It's the last moment before you need more happiness.
That sounds like every drug.
Yes.
Ironically.
I also had a question as to...
Oh, so you're going to bring that up and you're not going to ask Mickey how his Christmas was?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mickey. How was your Christmas?
Drugs! It was one Christmas, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what was the drug of choice? Still on the lewds, or do you move up to anything?
Oh, you know, I did a little uppers with a little hint of Mr. Disney's pinky Roundup in it. I figured I could take the pinky without him missing it.
Yeah, but what happens if you, like, how often do you grind up? Is it just for special occasions, a little bit of Mr. Disney, or after a while, like, yeah. You have no hand?
What do you mean I have no hand? His hand's attached to his body. Oh, boy.
Look.
You thought I forgot about you, didn't you?
No, I never couldn't even imagine such a world, Mickey.
Yeah, well, your mom hasn't forgotten about me.
I'm sure she hasn't. She's a lovely lady. She likes to follow up. I'm sure she treated you very nice.
Yeah, she had me turn to the left and cough. Gentle hands, that lady. Real nice.
Oh, sorry, Mom. She listens to this podcast occasionally. That's hilarious.
Hi, Mom.
Steve, you were making a point about Blurbus.
No, sorry, I had a question as to what happened all the babies and toddlers.
No.
That's a very good question. I was thinking about that too. They never mentioned kids. It's exactly the same as if you remember The Good Place. They never show kids. Like they never talk about them because, like, based on the system, none of those toddlers and babies or little kids who died early, who got childhood cancer, made it to The Good Place, and they didn't want to address it. So what is your theory about what happens to all the kids in this war, in this giant? Like, you have to think, because all of those kids, like, the only kids we've seen are, right, that little girl at the end and the one woman who's Free's son, right? Because they've now seen and experienced everything in the world. So that's some really fucked up shit.
No doubt.
So what are your theories? What are happening to these little kids in this giant?
So I think it's going to be like, I guess if you're kind of already thinking of this as kind of a horror, perhaps not, it's not that far off. But I mean, think about it this way. When you have a herd of animals,
mm-hmm.
the ones that get picked off first are the ones that are sick, the ones that are old, and the ones that are children.
Hmm.
And who are they picking off? They're not actually picking off people because they won't kill, but like they're making their yellow stuff out of dead bodies.
Yeah.
You know? So who's to say that like kids aren't next? Because the kids are gonna, you know, they're less useful or they're more prone to accidental death, given their size and if they are laboring or whatever. So I think it's probably gonna get kind of grim.
Yeah.
We're happy.
So Mickey, what did you think about Plurbus?
I don't know what that is. What's that? That's the thing on the coin, right?
Yeah, E Plurbus. I was talking about the television show. Have you not watched that?
What's television?
It's that thing you own 90% of.
I'm sorry, man. I can't feel my nose anymore. I'm gonna go find Goofy and see if he can pop me a couple times. I need to know if it's still there.
Good luck with that, Mickey.
Disney fingers really do a number on you.
Steve, what was anything else? What was your theory? Do you have a theory about kids and toddlers?
I think they may not have been fully added to the
collective.
Yeah, the collective, because I don't think there's much in the way they can do with them.
Really? Okay, so you kind of just think they're
just being looked after. That's what I think. I have nothing going on. That's just a theory I was reading through, and I happen to agree with it.
Well, it kind of makes sense. They're useless, right? Like, in the grand scheme of things, which is all these people worry about, right? They don't matter because they're not, they can't contribute. They can't, you know, all they do is cost resources that are very scarce at this point. Are they just grinding up the? Well, listen, I'm not.
Fuck them kids.
I am not saying like this
useless.
But this entire society seems based on logic, right? Like, there's no need to do anything. We turn all the lights out after 6 p.m. because we're all asleep.
Well, like, it's a system of efficiency. You're absolutely
right. Yeah. So what do you do with children that don't fit in with this mold, right? And also, when the babies are born, are they immediately, like, assimilated? Like, do they come out part of the collective?
I feel like it's got to pass from, you know, mother to child in utero. You know, right? If it's like, it seems like it would. I don't know.
The only thing is, would Carol then be immune to that role?
Interesting.
Good point.
All I know is 2 years from now, we'll talk about season 2, I'm sure, and it'll be a very lively discussion.
Whenever. I have to say, it was like super nice just to have the good old Vince Gilligan sense of humor back on TV. He's so funny. Like, even if it's like really dark. The whole thing with the drone and the trash bag, I was dying. That's amazing.
It was brilliant.
And it's like, it cannot be over 17 pounds. I was like, why? That's so specific. I'm like, oh, it's weight capacity. Cool.
It's literally them being as passive aggressive as possible, which is fantastic. It really is just a perfect blend of humor and just awful and fucked up, which only Vince Gilligan can do. There's that. What do you think, Steve? This is more at you because I know you're a fan. What are your thoughts on the rumored revival of X-Files?
Oh, you know, X-Files can kind of go a few different ways. I don't think you necessarily need to bring it back. Are they going to try and bring back the original cast and do a whole thing?
I think it's a reboot, but there'll probably be a couple episodes where, like, they're there, you know, like the passing of the torch, all that nonsense that they do in every kind of, like, rebooty thing.
X-Files was like a point in time in American history where TV was very different. I mean that in a good way. Like, TV was just, like it's just, everything is just now like very like either a second screen or a like, you know, like with very few exceptions, like Porpoise.
It's either like ultra prestige and it takes 3 to 4 years to make one season of 8 episodes, or it's like absolute garbage.
Right. And I think we're seeing that fall into this trap now where TV is starting to get really good and interesting, but then you have like these really weird, I'm not going to call them use cases, but like sets of shows that like either fall off because there's so much time between producing them, or just have that sophomore, like they can't get past that sophomore season, right? Yeah. And I use that to give you a specific example, which is Stranger Things. And I think that show really wrote itself into a corner quite a bit.
Yeah. That's next on the list. Since you did such an elegant transition, did anybody watch the finale of Stranger Things?
I was forced into it, but I unfortunately have only seen the first season, so I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, I feel like that wouldn't really lend itself to like knowing what's happening.
Yeah,
at all, or who most of the people are.
I was forced to watch spoilers on YouTube.
Oh no, Sean, what are your thoughts as someone who watched the whole thing?
I liked a lot of it, and I think I am almost kind of pleased that they didn't go for the extremely bloody ending. I think they understood their fan base enough to know that they're not gonna be killing, you know, Steve Harrington and Dustin and Robin and the people who were actually likable on that show.
That's totally fair, yeah.
You know, it also, that season, it didn't help the season that Lily Allen blew up David Harbour right before it premiered, because that just makes it just makes Hop look like grotesque. You know, I don't know. I think I'm totally good with it. I mean, I've enjoyed Stranger Things, and I think certainly, I mean, I really liked season 4. I think it kind of suffered, and certainly in like the aging of the kids, like I think it suffered from the fact that they just couldn't get it out quick enough, and those kids got older, and they got, you know, all sorts of other things going on, and
Make a valid point. Yeah. I mean,
I thought it was kind of like, but like it was one of those things, and I don't play video games like you guys do, but it almost felt like when you're playing a really good video game that you're like, this is the best thing ever. And you get like to the end and it just like kind of ends and it just like, it's easy.
Yeah.
And you weren't expecting it to be easy and you were kind of hoping it wouldn't be, but it's just like, you just kind of like walk through it.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's
satisfying, but it's not as satisfying as it could be.
Yeah, exactly.
That there was a whole rumor about a secret last episode, because I really feel like this generation, for the first time, experienced a not enough closure, less satisfying ending to something. You know,
I do have to say that the scene with the older kids, I say kids, they're all in like their 30s, like Steve and Jonathan and Nancy and Robin on the roof, and they're all in their like late 80s,
yeah,
you know, Miami Vice wear. That whole thing, that whole time I'm listening to them talk to each other, I'm going like, this is so nice. And then they're like, we're going to meet once a month. I was like, oh, they are never seeing each other ever again.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And I feel like that actually kind of hit in a way that like most of the rest of the episode didn't hit me, because I'm like, yeah, they're never going to see each other again.
Yeah.
You know, I think that like there's some beats that I really liked.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
I just generally found Elle unlikable like the entire time. I'm just going to be real with it. I find her unlikable.
Did you see the Chad face of her?
Yes. She'll be fine. I don't really like her very much, I guess, generally. But,
well, you know. Millie Bobby Brown is also like really not a good person.
Oh, yeah.
She has a history of not being easy to work with and just being like very, very full of herself and pretentious and like just thinks she's God's gift to acting.
Parents kind of like screw her over there.
I mean, listen, not getting involved, but I just find her very off-putting in every context. So I'm not, you know.
Don't like Enola Holmes? I've never watched Enola Holmes. I don't know if I like her or not, but I don't think I do.
Chris Pratt. That like
Straight up don't like.
Yeah, and that cost Netflix like $1 billion and kind of ruined the reputation of the oh my god, the brothers who run Marvel. They direct everything.
The Russos,
yeah. Who made this, and then it just like no one liked it.
They're like, oh, you aren't talented. You're just stealing from something that was like well developed for decades. Okay, good to know.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they did a great job when they did Arrested Development back in the day, but maybe that was because they worked with a lot of talented people. Anywho,
and they suffered from Arrested Development.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Full circle. I guess we have to talk about the controversy, the other controversy that's surrounding the show, which I don't think it was that big of a deal. It was a little, it felt a little ham-fisted, don't get me wrong, but yeah. Like the fact that he had to come out to beat the thing seemed a little like weird. Like it just didn't fit with the story.
Here's what I would say to that, and I agree with you. But I think the reason it didn't fit was because he was like, in that whole scene. And I thought the episode was good. I think it's getting review bombed and that sucks. But
that's
like,
fair. No, I don't agree. Like it needs to be like that. I just didn't feel
it's
like
definitely
it,
not the worst episode of that series.
No,
I can tell
God,
you that
no.
much.
No, no, no,
not
no.
even close. but like, yeah, his whole reasoning as to why he needed to do it then and in that way. Like, first of all, like, hey, if we take it for what it's worth, coming out in the 80s to your friends and family and other like adults in your community who you respect and like that takes a lot of guts. So like,
oh, 100%.
That was like on one level, like that was like really cool to see. But the reasoning for why he was doing it then and how he was doing it, it's like if he's saying that Vecna is messing with his head over that, like over like fear of him being ostracized and persecuted and alone and like, you know, being some sort of like outcast or whatever. We didn't see that. And that's the problem.
That's fair.
And so all we're left with is imagining, like, either the done up Jamie Campbell Bauer trolling him for being gay, or Jamie Campbell Bauer just trolling him. And it's just like that.
Yeah.
I don't like having to imagine that, because that doesn't seem like it fits in the story.
Agreed.
So, like, tell me how that happened.
Yeah.
Or show me how it happened, and I'm good with it.
Yeah.
But, like, it just didn't make sense.
Again, let me preface this, like, especially because the girls aren't here, who would, you know, probably, you know, crucify us for talking about this shit. Oh, but
Meter's out, fellas.
But, like, I totally am not, like, I am totally fine with a character being gay. I just, it don't do it for diversity's sake or because you're trying to send a message. Do it because it fits this character. It fits the story. It fits everything. Make it make sense. And I'm 100% for it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there are certain characters that are just gay and it does have nothing to do with the story. That's fine. Right? Like, you know, what's his name? Like, Holt from, you know, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Black and gay, but like that's not his defining characteristic. He's like hilarious regardless. Like, it doesn't matter.
I thought you were going for Steve Holt. I was just like, Steve Holt was gay, I don't think. Steve Holt.
Poor Steve Holt. But like, there's a way to do it. Just don't, like, hey, look, this character, he's gay now. Like
yeah, we know. Everybody's known.
Yeah.
It's fine. We all like him still. It's fine.
Yeah.
Stop being awkward. You know, I think we're also looking at it too with like a modern lens, and fair, because it's the, you know, it's the sesquicentennial year.
Yeah.
But like, again, I just think it's, yeah, they could have written it in a way. And I thought his monologue was good. I thought his performance of the writing that they did for him was great.
Sure.
But 100%. Again, it was just like, it felt kind of disjointed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
I did love Winona Ryder, and spoilers, I love that she was the one to kill Vecna.
Yeah.
I wish she had done it in fewer hacks. It was like, oh my God, is this like way back out? Is this like Al Qaeda in like 1998, like trying to behead somebody with a spoon? Like, what's happening here? Can we get this lady a real axe?
I mean, there was some level of catharsis in how ridiculous it was. Right, like she got out a lot of anger.
Sure. But like, yeah, I just thought about.
Right, I was.
Oh my God, Santa! I just couldn't do it, Jesus! I just couldn't let him live. It's like, that's what it felt like to me. It's like, oh, okay.
Oh, okay. That's fantastic. Anywho. All right. Anything? I think we covered all of the big things that have happened over the holidays. Anything else anyone had they want to go over before we move on to the main event?
I will say one more thing about Stranger Things.
Sure, please.
Because they teased us for, I guess, ever since it premiered. What did you think of their usage of the two Prince songs that they paid a King's Ransom for?
I understand. However, I think they could have had a much, like, they could have saved a lot of money and done some, like, something just as cool.
I agree. I don't think it fit with the show.
Yeah. There was no need, like, to do that.
Yeah.
Like, okay. You have the song. It's a great song, but, like, don't.
The Duffers were like, hey, we got, like, $50 million left in the budget from Netflix, and we don't know what to do with it. And he's just like, hey, why don't we ever hear Prince anymore? Like, $50 million, you can hear Prince.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All right. That was, the Prince thing. Not my favorite. Steve, how about you? Anything else to mention on any topic we've covered before we move on?
No, I think that was a good way to kind of preface of what we're getting into.
Yeah, right. We had 39 minutes of great content. We analyzed a lot. I am very proud of us. So let's move on to the main event. This Thursday marks the return of one of the most critically acclaimed shows of the last couple of years. It won, good Lord, how many Emmys?
Oh.
Many. Many.
13 nominations. Yep.
How many wins?
Five.
Five wins. That's really good. Incredible. And the show is just as good as it, you know, as that, spoiler alert. But the second season premieres this Thursday. So we thought that we would take this time to review the first season of shows that somehow, well, we talked about it off and on. We've never actually done an episode on it. Now, has everybody here seen the show before I go into this?
Yes.
I know you have, Steve. Sean, have you seen The Pit?
I haven't, but I actually got to dip out. I got a Prime. So I, at my child's request, installed Microsoft Word on his flight simulator computer.
Oh.
So he could write stories, which sounds wonderful. And in a very cute way, he was like, wow, this is amazing. And I was just like, all I do is sit at a computer all day with that in front of me. So I love that. For you.
Can you get his permission to read one of his stories on air?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, he's complaining to me because I don't have a wireless printer. So, well, there okay. You go.
Are you coming back? Because we'll like.
Yeah, I can come on your back.
Please, thank you. So, should we watch? Because I was basically saying Steve and I can have a conversation because we've both seen it. But if you're coming back, we'll watch the episode.
Oh yeah, I'm for sure coming back. It may be a little bit like 20-ish minutes or so if I
okay. Play my well, cards then right. We can wait. You could just text. We'll put the recording on
all
pause.
Right, Steve here, and I here. My Capricorn ADHD brain, which seems like an oxymoron. I swear to God, it's not. If you give me a time that you're going to start playing the show, I can make that work. But if you don't give me a time, then I will be back at like 1 a.m. So I'm just telling you. That's 10:30? How I work. Sure.
Does that work?
You give me a full hour and 15 minutes. Appreciate
sorry.
It. Bye.
Sorry.
No, 9:30? I get what you're
saying. Is 9:30. That enough time?
Yeah. 9:30 works.
Okay, great. So we cool. will.
What time is that in Eastern? 10:30
Eastern. What time is it in Greenwich Mean Time?
Give me in Zulu time.
I don't
it's
know.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
That is true.
Right, Matt, I'm going to make a pitch for an episode.
It's 5:15 somewhere, you dumbass. That's not how time works.
Oh, you don't want to start with a pilot. You want to just go right in. Okay. Pitch me your episode.
Episode 8.
Okay. Why episode 8?
I think it's one of the most emotionally jarring episodes there is.
Done. Let's do it. Well, okay. So, Steve, while we're waiting on Sean for the next 15 minutes, I'll put the recording on pause after we talk. You pick this episode. What are your thoughts on the show overall? There's a big history behind it. You know, we had the whole controversy with ER and it being sued by the Crichton estate. But it made it through all that and came out looking golden. How do you think it compares to the legacy of ER?
Oh, you know, it's a good question because it's ER was filmed at such a different time with so many seasons and so many ways that it had Michael Crichton directing,
yeah,
if not writing most of those episodes when he was alive.
Yep.
That I think it stands on its own merits. I think The Pit separates itself by actually doing intelligent ways of writing, but also keeping the show medically accurate, which ER did to a large degree.
Yeah.
But I've seen so many write downs, analyses of like what it does to keep people engaged. I think the shining moment of the shows is that it takes concepts from other movies and executes it on a level that makes it interesting.
Yeah.
My favorite is a YouTube video that compares it to the Battle of Helm's Deep for the last two awesome. Episodes and how they recreate it inside the TV show. And it does it in a way that's subverts your expectations, but does it in a very good way. And despite the show now being, I think it's a year old,
mm-hmm.
I can remember it and view it in a fond light. And I think that's what gives it weight. That I can sit there and enjoy medical drama, and man, it's just brutal.
Oh yeah,
it really is. And every episode finishing it, I felt like I didn't feel like I was like, oh, I sat there and thought about the episode after it finished.
Agreed. 100%. It did. It you know, there are many fond occasions, and this is getting a little sentimental, that reminded me of those hours we used to spend on our couch in Philly watching like season after season of the ER. Like, I got that same feeling of like drama and like, but it was such a good show, like compelling, and you know, the thing that kept us riveted for so long. And very few shows capture that the way ER does. And The Pit since then. Noah Wyle was great always. And everything about this is just, but we'll get to that after this episode plays. So I'm setting up episode 8 right now, just for you, Steve. And we will be back. I will pause the recording and we will be back here at, in about 12 minutes to watch this thing. All right. See you soon. Boop. And we are back. Sean, since you are new to this party, what are your initial thoughts?
All right. This is such a Steve choice, and I don't mean The Pit. I mean going in on episode 8. But I say that as a compliment because Steve does shit like this sometimes. He knows his audience, and I appreciate that. I think that, well, and it's also helpful too, and I'll explain why, but I thought it was good. I thought the pacing was good. I thought that as much as I'm aware of what actually working in a hospital as a doctor or nurse or other medical professionals like, it felt real enough to me that I was able to suspend any disbelief. And,
I will say, comment, there's been a couple YouTubers, famous-ish doctors, or like, I know Dr. Mike was one of them, who's one of the more famous doctors on YouTube, and a lot of other emergency workers. What?
I said that's not a last name.
I know, right?
He's not the only guy named Mike who's a doctor. What a pretentious prick.
But a lot of emergency and medical personnel have said this is by far the most realistic medical show ever. Like, far and away, like, they stuck to the actual medicine. They stuck to what it's like day to day, or not day to day, because it's all in one day. It's 24 style. And like the things they go through on a daily basis are all here. So just to put that out there, it is supposedly super realistic.
It feels enough as someone who's not a medical doctor. Mm-hmm. I am a doctor, as I pointed out to my child, of course. Not an hour ago. Just not that kind of doctor. I think it was enough for me to go, okay, like, I, to the extent that some of this is inaccurate, or like they would never, a real doctor would never actually do something a certain way, whatever, who cares? It's enough for me to just go like, okay, like, let's follow the story and see what happens. Mm-hmm. The reason I like that Steve can pick the 8th episode, is if it's good and I want to watch it, it means that it's something that I can pick up and drop. Not drop like permanently, but I can like walk away from it at some point and come back to it, and I'm okay. Mm-hmm. It's not something where I need to be like, I need to understand the storyline from the very get-go. It's like, it's almost like incredibly straightforward like that. And I appreciate that, because it's, you know, I don't know if any of you guys watched Grey's Anatomy back in the day. I unfortunately was forced to.
No. ER and House were my go-to medical shows. And I stand by that.
Scrubs. Are you serious?
Oh,
Scrubs.
Okay, fair. But I
also, Scrubs is coming back in like a few months, by the way. It is. So, like, there's that. Yeah.
We're definitely doing a review on that episode.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
I don't consider Scrubs a medical drama. Well, it's a drama.
It's got its dramatic moments, but yeah.
It definitely does. But it's definitely separate than what I watch House or ER for, if that makes sense.
I mean, I liked it. I liked The Pit a lot. I thought that it was good and, you know, well acted, well written, well paced, which for this kind of a show is very important. And again, like, my hesitation to really watch a lot of other medical dramas is because the pace is either way too fast, or I'm stuck in a hospital where it's like the lighting is terrible and everything is the same color.
Yeah.
And people aren't wearing interesting clothes and gross stuff happens that I don't want to think about. And I'm just like, you know, this is not pleasant. I don't want to be here. But this is like, no, like, it was like the right tone, the right pacing. I almost feel like a little jealous because like my whole suspension of disbelief issue is a massive problem when I try and watch anything involving lawyers. So I'm like, first of all, my day-to-day life is beyond stressful, but if someone were watching me do it, they would be so bored out of their mind that like,
Yeah.
yeah, but like you can't make a show like that because no one will watch it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even watch it. I'd be like, I want to get off as far away from that as possible.
Yeah.
This is something that like I just feel like is, it's interesting, it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
Fucking Noah Wiley,
Yeah.
go off king, whatever. I enjoyed it, so I will
Bryan Cranston's
continue
daughter.
watching. What the fuck? Really?
Yeah, the one who's slightly autistic, like the glasses. I forget her
I had
name.
no idea.
That's Bryan Cranston's daughter.
Little Holly's all grown up. Oh, Malcolm in the Middle is coming back.
Oh shit, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. All right, we'll get to that in a bit. So let's I think it only works in, I don't think every a doctor profession works in this context. I think it's emergency medicine in particular, and that's kind of why it's been the
I'm an
focus of
emergency proctologist. That might actually be interesting, honestly.
To be
They're
fair, yeah. It's
like when they
it's,
cut open a great white and they have all the weird shit inside them from like years of just like roaming and just eating everything in sight. And it's like, why is there a suit of armor in this shark? Why is there a suit of armor up your ass? I don't know.
All right.
Call in the proc doc.
That's a good name for a show. Oh, we should write that down. That's a good idea.
ChatGPT is going to make my own medical drama.
Proc doc. All right.
Emergency proctologist.
This is for both of you. What do you guys think of the 24 concept, right? This is, I think, 16 episodes, but it takes place over one shift. It's 8 a.m. in the morning till at night. Like, what are
12.
your thoughts?
Yeah.
Or whatever. I don't know. I don't. It is a long shift.
Steve, are you taking off?
Steve is indeed taking off.
What? No.
I think you were just firing up your engines there.
No, I don't know. I was on mute.
What are your thoughts on the structure, Sean?
Okay. I enjoyed 24.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy a good Kiefer Sutherland is hooked on heroin for the
Sure.
job.
Of course.
Looking back on that show in hindsight, like I don't remember the name of this comedian, but there's a guy who pops up a lot on like my Instagram and my TikTok. And basically the whole thing is like he acts like some like coked up like Hollywood guy who's like pitching like famous things to, other people, and he like bullies people into submission.
Yeah.
It's really funny the way he does it, but it almost to me feels like, okay, so we have an idea for a show. This guy is a counterterrorist agent. There are 24 episodes in the season. Each episode is an hour. It's shot in real time. He's going to have to cut his hair every single day to be accurate. And by the way, and it's like, okay, that was insane. Like that was actually insane that they did that. And it's insane that it lasted as long as it did.
Yeah.
I buy it for a doctor though. I 100% buy it for a doctor because like doctors are fucking like they never sleep.
Yeah.
So I think it would be interesting, and again, I haven't watched any other episode than this one. I missed the very beginning of it, but I think it would be interesting to watch over the course of the day as to how that affects these people that are like, this is their job, this is their
Yeah.
livelihood. Are they fresh at 8 a.m.? Are they groggy? Are they like hating themselves at 11 p.m. Like, I'd be very interested to see how that goes because I honestly have no concept for that in
Fair.
that profession.
There is a running concept. This is the last thing to say before I throw to Steve. But there is this running kind of gag, and not necessarily a gag, but this thing that it takes Noah Wyle 3 or 4 episodes to actually take a piss. He tries to go to the bathroom multiple times and is called away. So like that's one of the running things. Like it takes him that many episodes just to pee because of all the shit that's going on, and I find that very funny, but probably absolutely realistic.
See, that's where the proc doc would call in his urologist friend, Dr. Calf. And he wouldn't have to worry about that anymore.
This is the show is coming together way too quickly.
It's the
Steve,
Pee Pee Cuckoo Show.
Steve, your thoughts on the structure of the pit?
Yeah, I was a fan of 24, so I always thought
Yeah.
this was kind of like along the same idea. I think it works really well for what the show does to kind of keep a continuous storyline going, but not
Yeah.
everything has to be like interconnected. terms of like what episode is going from what episode and what's changing. So there's a thread in between most of these that makes it make sense, but you don't have to like be locked into every episode to kind of like, you know, keep the shift going. Also, I think the way they end it makes sense with this format.
Yes.
So it works really well.
Yeah, agreed. All right, so let's talk about Noah Wiley himself as the kind of the person who carries the show. We know he's done it before. He was incredible in ER back in the day. And he's coming back kind of like it was his idea, right, to do this. This was supposed to be a direct sequel to ER. Mm-hmm. Michael Crichton, his estate, things happened. They had to kind of retool it as slightly different, but obviously Noah Wiley's playing Dr. Carter in a different kind of slight difference. He's being typecast, but he absolutely loves doing these kind of roles. Do you think he alone carries this show, or can, like, is the supporting cast just as important?
I think the supporting cast is really good. There's a really good interview with that. I think you're saying that's Bryan Cranston's daughter, the one with the glasses?
Yes, the one with the glasses. Let me double check.
I've seen an interview
name
with her before, and she is actually such a considerable actress. It really will blow you away that seeing her off screen, discussing how she kind of got into the character and how she landed the role. It was really good. So I think the supporting cast really makes a big part of it, but there's also the way the ending kind of brings them all together does a lot of that. And also there's this one guy in, he's the other ER doctor who was in the first episode who tried to jump off the building. He's amazing as a supporting role, like really mm-hmm. brings out like what an absolute boss like he is. So I think the supporting cast really does elevate the show. It's not who's better, who's doing a better job.
Yeah, she looks way different with
glasses. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Even the YouTube interview she does, like she looks completely different.
Taylor Dearden is her name. Dearden, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, she's great. The supporting cast is, I think. Yeah, well, it's Sean, what about you? What are your thoughts?
I think it's incredibly important to have a good, even if you've got someone who's like, this is the selling point of our show.
Yeah.
What keeps people around is like the relationships that character has with all of the other characters. And if you don't have a good supporting cast there, it's not going to work. It's going to come across as like that guy's either an egomaniac or he's boring or unlikable. Like it's important to develop this because you get different dynamic. Like even if you're focusing on one person, mm-hmm. you get such different sides of that person when they interact with different people as they go about their day. And okay. So I think it's really important to have a strong supporting cast, even if they're not, you know, notable, you know, stars or successful mm-hmm. actors or whatever, prolific actors.
Yeah. Well, it sure as hell brought all these people to the limelight. That's for sure. Because, you know,
and that's great.
They were all like, over the Emmys,
you know. But like, and again, the thing about ER, and I don't really watch ER, certainly not when it was originally airing. I've, you know, dipped into it every now and then on like a sick day or whatever. But it had George Clooney, and he left, and it was still on, and people still liked it, and that's because you developed this supporting bench around him, that actually kind of was like, you know, it'd be nice to have him back, but like, we don't need him anymore. Yeah. He can go do, you know, he can go put all the bat nipple suits on he wants, and we'll just continue, you know, doing our job. And that's good for everybody.
You know, the brilliant part about, and I think this speaks to your point a lot, is that the brilliant thing about ER and the way it kept working was because they kept making you care about the characters as they grew up. You saw people start as a medical student. You saw on the first episode, you see Noah Wiley as this like right out of med school kid, and you see him grow up to become the attending and running the ER. And as you do that, you kind of like, you can get people when they're ready to leave, move on, but you still have all of these other characters that you've now established, and that keeps happening. They keep finding more students and more, and the cast rotates, and it lends itself so well because you keep the place the same. You keep the stories kind of like, you know, it all fits in the same vein, but you can kind of rotate these characters around and that's what I think the big difference between, they tried that with Scrubs, but it didn't work. Because
I was just thinking about that actually.
Right? Yeah. That show, they forgot that show was about, you know, Zach Braff and Donald Faison and those people. where it wouldn't work the same way that ER did, because you started caring. You can't just drop a new cast in. You have to like get them acclimated and make them part of the world. And that's why
that's also like where it that Scrubs being a comedy matters, because comedy is often about dynamics and relationships developed between at least two characters.
Oh yeah.
And if you break that up, then
yeah, agreed. I will ask both of you, but I think Sean most directly. Who were you most intrigued by, besides Noah Wiley's character? Which side story, which side character really piqued your interest the most?
I'm gonna be real. The second I heard Black Widow in the shoe,
oh yeah,
I'm just like, all right, you got me. Like, and again, like the thing with, I've seen a few episodes of House. I'm more than willing to hear you out on it. It just didn't feel like he's like, for me, you know, I felt like he's just kind of a lot.
Of course. But I mean, it's literally Sherlock Holmes, like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I tend to favor the villains and, you know. Anyways.
Oh boy, I know what you mean.
You know, you are the villain. As he stands in his kitchen talking to himself.
Yeah. But that dynamic with, I mean, was it the story itself, or the dynamic between like showing up your mom on your like first day of med school?
I just like the interplay of all that. Like, okay, I thought, fair, yeah. You know, and I do like that aspect. I mean, I like that aspect of the lawyer too. I like problem solving kind of, you know, but I also kind of like how it's like, wait, why is there a spider bite bottom of her foot?
Yeah.
Oh shit. Like, because there's a fucking Black Widow in her shoe.
Yeah.
We should probably treat this.
But I think that only happens in emergency medicine, right? Like, these are the situations you have to act with like incomplete information, because you'd have no idea this person's coming in with one problem.
Person's incapacitated and you're
So yeah, it lends itself very well. Steve, taking this episode in isolation, do you have one sub story or character that you kind of like were drawn to?
Oh, I think the thing that hit me hardest about this episode was the kid in the pool.
Oh God. Yeah. You guys are both pretty, I mean, Steve, especially, you're a relatively new parent. Does that hit harder now?
Oh, definitely. Than it did? Harder.
Oh yeah.
That's probably the most gut wrenching thing in this episode for me.
Sean, what about you?
Wait until your kid starts mouthing off to you and you're like,
You deserve the pool.
Oh yeah. Well, you know what? You think everything's so hard for you. I was raised by boomers. You haven't even seen hard yet. Like, let's go.
You have no idea what's coming.
I was talking to Not So New Girl last night, and we were talking about Max, and I was like, you know, like, he's so sheltered, but not, I don't even mean it in a bad way. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's never been like hit like square in the nuts. And I feel like in my head, I'm like, I think you probably benefit from that, actually. You know, nothing permanent, right? But just like a firm little, you know, just to be like, hey, that's what that feels like. and she's like, you know, you can't do that. I'm like, I'm not saying I would. I'm just saying, like, it might help.
Yeah, there is something to that. Like, it's almost like that thing. They talked about it ironically in House or something. It's like, you have to believe you'll really hurt them. That's the only way those things work. Like, you can't yell at a kid and just like have it be hollow. It only works if they actually have fear for themselves. Which, you know, right or wrong, that's how the world works now. They don't. They know you're not going to do shit to them. At least most, anyway. I don't have kids, so I'm the least person to like make these kind of, you know, arguments. I just thought it was funny from House and related to the whole conversation.
Well, they're just like, they're just little versions of adults.
there's definitely a lot of adults I'd want to hit too.
Yeah. And the thing is, you can.
Yeah. Right. Oh man. All right. Sean or Steve, anything else that stood out to you that you guys want to just jump on in this episode real quick before we move to voting?
Not to bury the lead on my vote, but like the only reason I haven't already started watching this show in the past 2 days is because like we literally had like a weird sleeping weekend after Pluribus.
Yeah.
And then like haven't quite recovered from that. And I'm like, I want to be able to focus on this and not be half asleep while it's on. So
do you know how I'll just put that out there. I am of you that you get season one and then two on Thursday and you don't have to wait any amount of time.
I think I've realized this is my jam, and I didn't notice it was a pattern until you just said that right now, because I did it with Severance last year.
Yeah.
I did it with the second season of Game of Thrones. I'm trying to remember what else I've done it with. I did it with Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
I did it with Mad Men. It's like my thing. It's like I front load the series. I let them get a season or two out and I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I jump on it and it's like the best ever. Cause then I'm like, I know what I'm doing for the next week.
Amazing. All right. Steve, anything else from you?
No.
Fair enough. All right, let us move. In the easiest to predict episode in a while. Steve, The Pit, binge worthy, why or why not?
I've already binged it, so it's already a binge for me. It
would be disingenuous of him to say.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, hypocritical.
Fair enough. Any particular reason? What's your favorite thing? Just throw out one favorite thing about the show.
If you can recreate Helm's Deep in a show, I think you're a winner.
I need to watch that video. I want to see that analysis because brilliant.
Link. It's really good.
Please. I'll put that link in the description. Sean, same question.
Because I was already going to binge it anyway, so here we are. I'm just waiting on the opportunity at this point. I'm in, and I'm super hyped that I get two seasons of it instead of just one.
Do we know if they're doing it weekly or are we getting it all at once?
I think it's weekly.
That's probably for the best, but I would watch the whole thing in one day.
Yeah,
we're getting one episode a week. Damn.
I'd much rather they do that than not to roll it back to Stranger Things, but like I hated like giving it out in like volumes. I'm like, just give me the whole fucking thing. Or just like give it to me one week at a time. Like this is irritating.
Yeah. Yeah, I agreed. It's 15 episodes this season, so that's a long day. It is July 4th weekend is the plot. So yeah, this takes place during July 4th weekend in Pittsburgh.
Lots of fireworks injuries. Drunk injuries. Cool injuries.
Oh yeah, some crazy shit's gonna happen, and just wait till you get to the end of season one where some crazy shit happens then too. There's a reason he's there for 16 episodes. All right, that about wraps this part up. Anyone got Steve, at the beginning of the show before we started recording, you said you had a great closer for this episode. So I will throw to you, Steve, final thoughts.
Thank you for these final thoughts, as we're all veterans of DARE, the DARE program.
Of course.
I wanted to say for 2026 that sometimes we require God's strongest soldiers out his strongest missions. And I'm tired of being his strongest soldier. So I hope this year will be a slightly better year.
That is a lot of Colombian blow.
Here's 2026. Good night, everybody.